disease using California Emergency Department and hospital patient discharge data.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm Lauren Nelson. I'm going to switch gears a little bit now. I'm an epidemiologist with the California Department of Public Health, and I'm going to share about some of our efforts to estimate population-level pelvic inflammatory disease in California. And I do want to mention that this work has been part of our work with the STD Surveillance Network, or SUN Part B grant. So pelvic inflammatory disease is a serious infection of the upper reproductive tract, and it's often caused by chlamydia, gonorrhea, and other sexually transmitted infections. It is associated with adverse reproductive outcomes, including infertility and ectopic pregnancy, making it important to prevent and/or treat promptly. And prevention of the complications of STIs, including PID, is a key role of government public health, and monitoring morbidity over time is essential to fulfill that role. So for some context, in California, PID has historically been a reportable condition, and compared to the rates among females for chlamydia, which is in blue, and gonorrhea, which is in green, PID is very low. You almost can't tell the trends on this graph. But if we zoom in a little bit and look at the number of PID cases over the last 20 years or so in California, we see that since the mid-90s, there's been a continual decrease in the number of case reports, and that's leveled out around 12 or 1,300 in more recent years. But these numbers are generally accepted as vast underestimates in the state. We learn of approximately the same amount of cases in 1 year from Kaiser, which is shown by the star on the graph, which serves only about 10% of the state. And then further, if we apply published rate estimates to California census data, we'd expect PID rates to be somewhere in the ballpark of 20 to 40,000 per year, at least. And underestimates of case reports may be due to several reasons, including lack of a definitive lab test, inefficient reporting structures, or lack of electronic case reporting. And for all of these challenges and the unreliable estimates, as of 2016, PID has been eliminated from our list of reportable conditions in California. So these challenges and low numbers of case reports have really prompted us to look to alternative data sources, and specifically looking at administrative data sets, which may be more representative of the population of California and may be more consistent in case ascertainment and management. And there have been several studies aiming to validate the use of administrative data for identifying PID. And one of the first I really looked at was by Catherine Satterwhite, where they aim to validate a case definition based on ICD-9 codes for PID and an algorithm including age and treatment, validated in mixed model healthcare organizations, and they found high sensitivity and positive predictive value for such a case definition, but low specificity. So kind of following that lead, our objective was to determine our ability to adequately identify and track PID in California using existing data sources, and also to describe the distribution of PID among the California population. And so we did this using data from California's Office of Statewide Health Planning and Development, which I will refer to as OSHPED, and 2013 was the most recent available data to us at the time of this analysis. And so data comes from emergency department, or ED, and hospital patient discharge, which I'll refer to as inpatient records, from licensed facilities in California, as they are required to report on each visit and hospitalization. And so if a patient in the ED is admitted to the hospital, they are only included in the inpatient data set, so there isn't too much double counting. And billing data is the primary source for the reported information. So there's a ton of data in this data set, but some of the things we pulled out of interest include demographics, age, race, ethnicity, region of residence, and also type of insurance or payer. And then data on the visit or hospitalization includes multiple fields for diagnoses, procedures, also length of stay, and discharge information. So for each of the data sets, the ED and inpatient, we followed this process to identify episodes of PID. So we first limited records to patients of interest, which included females age 15 to 44. And then within each record, we searched the 25 diagnosis fields for PID ICD-9 codes. And then each record was categorized as acute and or chronic based on that ICD-9 code, but we really focused our burden estimates on the acute diagnoses. So then further, we were able to identify unique patients by Social Security number. And for unique patients with multiple PID records, visit dates greater than 60 days apart were considered unique episodes. So to summarize some of our results, in the emergency department, there were originally almost 11 million records representing 11 million ED visits. And almost 3 million of those were for females age 15 to 44. A little over 8,400 had a PID diagnosis. And of those, 380 were chronic PID, with a little over 8,000 having acute PID, and those represented a little over 7,700 unique acute PID episodes. In the inpatient data, there were fewer records, nearly 4 million, with a little over 800,000 for females age 15 to 44, and nearly 4,000 of those had some kind of PID diagnosis. And of those, 1,000 were chronic, and a little over 3,000 had acute PID, representing about 2,900 unique acute PID episodes in the inpatient data. So, and each data set had a different composition of type of PID cases. In the ED, 96% of PID records were acute and 4% were chronic. In the inpatient data, 78% were acute and 22% were chronic. So if we take out the chronic PID, the ED had over 7,700 unique PID episodes, and the inpatient had nearly 3,000. This combines to over 10,500 unique acute PID episodes. This number does account for any episodes with multiple visits to either site. However, it does not, of course, account for any diagnoses within outpatient settings. So if we combine the acute pieces of the original pies, we can see that the ED contributed over 70% of the episodes to this estimate, indicating the added value of having both of the data sets. So to compare with some of our other PID estimates for 2013, this graph shows in the first bar is the 1,200 case reports, which was part of the line graph shown earlier. And then the next two bars represent specific healthcare settings in the state. So In a large publicly funded family planning program in California, we identified over 660 cases, and in Kaiser, Northern California, over 1,000. So that last bar, the combined over 10,500 episodes in the OSHPED data, is substantially higher than estimates from case reports in specific healthcare settings, further emphasizing that passive surveillance is likely grossly underestimates and estimating the incidence of disease. And so just to take it a little further, I'm going to describe a little bit about the demographics of the OSHPED data. So on the left, we have the ED data in orange, and on the right, we have the inpatient data in purple. So we can see that the PID cases diagnosed in the ED are younger than those in the inpatient. The race ethnicity distributions were relatively similar in each data set, with about 40% of PID being among Hispanic women and over 30% among white women. And then in both data sources, nearly half of the PID cases had public insurance, such as Medicaid or Medi-Cal, which is, depending on the source, higher than we see in the general population of California. In the ED, the other half was nearly evenly split between private insurance and self-payment. However, in the inpatient, there was a higher proportion of private insurance and less self-payment. So to kind of summarize our key findings, in the ED, we identified 7,700 acute PID episodes in 2013 among females age 15 to 44, and these episodes tended to be among younger women with a higher proportion self-payment. In the inpatient, we identified nearly 3,000 acute PID episodes with a higher proportion with private insurance. And so to take it a step further, as I mentioned, we don't have outpatient data. However, there have been some studies estimating rates of PID, and they found that between 60 and 70% of all PID is treated in outpatient settings. So if we do some assumptions that the over 10,000 ED and inpatient diagnoses we found represent that other 30 to 40%, and do some back-of-the-envelope calculations, we could estimate that there may be 15 to 24,000 more outpatient cases. And this could total to 25 to 35,000, which would kind of align with our initial estimates using census data and published rates. So, and this data, of course, has some limitations. We are missing Social Security number for 12 to 16% in each data set, and this limited the ability to identify unique episodes and potentially led to double counting, although only 4% of records were duplicates, so it suggests that it wouldn't majorly influence our estimates. We don't have validation of PID-ICD-9 codes in the OSHPED data, although it has been done for other sources. And lack of treatment information prevents developing a more reliable case definition. And additionally, lack of data on STD diagnoses can also be helpful in confirming PID and also understanding the etiology. And then no data on outpatient visits means we have very much an underestimate. So in conclusion, OSHPED data allows for estimating acute PID in ED and inpatient settings and also allows us to track trends over time. It emphasizes the underestimate of our passive surveillance systems, but also really highlights the need for outpatient data in order to truly understand the burden of PID in California. But there are opportunities for partnerships with primary care, family planning, and STD clinics, and also other health plans and provider networks to continue to triangulate PID data, as well as utilize data from electronic case reporting and health information exchanges. So with that being said, I want to thank colleagues at the STD Control Branch, as well as OSHPED and our Sun Part B partners. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Erica Samoff from North Carolina, but formerly of California. I'm always happy to hear from California. So if you come up with an estimated number, so you have an estimate that maybe represents 30 to 40% here, or maybe someday you'd get some good outpatient sources and make a better estimate, how would you present that? Would you think of putting it in your surveillance kind of standard presentation, marked as an estimate? I don't know if you've thought about that.
I don't think we've gotten quite that far, but I would say so. I think it's such an important piece of how we argue other parts of STD control. So anything we have, I think we would want to use in that context, but it's definitely trickier than presenting surveillance data, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm. I find myself tempted a lot to put estimates into my presentations. But
yeah, we do so many of them, but not many of them get out there. Thank you.
Tigran Avunjan from the University of Washington, also originally from California. So, I had a question about the migration to ICD-10 is happening right now across the country. So I was wondering if you had any thoughts about how the change to ICD-10 would impact the sensitivity and specificity of identifying PID cases.
I have no idea. I think this is something we'd like to repeat with more recent years of this data, and at some point it will be ICD-10 data, so I don't have a good answer to that, except we're all in that boat at some point.
Ryan Kreisberg, Arizona Department of Health, not originally from California.
That's okay.
I was wondering if you have plans to do some sort of cross-match between your STD data and the PID data that you had, if you have, say, name, date of birth, that kind of thing.
I see my supervisor shaking her head. I don't think so. I think with our surveillance data, we just have accepted it as such a poor representation that it's not worth the effort for PID, but I like the thought.
Dr. Mananya Hansen, London. I was just wondering if the treatment for PID is standardized across California so that you could possibly triangulate with pharmaceutical data or prescription data, and what sort of progress are you making in that regard?
I suppose we could. We have some other claims data sources that we have been able to develop kind of a standardized treatment definition for, but it's a very limited scope. It's within family planning. So we haven't explored adding that into the
the OSHPED data. Unfortunately, it's not available. It would be awesome if it was available as part of the OSHPED data. But I think it's a good thought, especially because we do know that that helps boost the reliability of the PID estimates. And I think it would be doable to some extent since it is fairly, at least we kind of call it the CDC recommended treatment, and other than, it's either that or an other treatment. I don't know if that answers your question. But.
All right, well, thank you very much.